It's great to be back with my Frisco family. It's been about 15 years since I came back after I attended the school. While I was attending the school, I came back several times. And then after that, then I moved to Lufkin, Texas after my graduation and preached 5 years for a congregation there. And then we came back to work with the Brown Trail School of Preaching as the director of the Spanish department and one of the instructors as well. And so I want to thank you so much once again. I know I did it throughout my studies at Brown Trail, but I want to say thank you once again because your investment, it's producing a lot of fruits. And you're serving, it's continues to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my family and I are still committed to stand for the truth and also to reach out to the lost souls. And we've been enjoying the privilege and the opportunity to travel in other countries like Central America, Mexico, conducting gospel meetings and lectureships. And so we're so thankful that we continue to work for the Lord. And I'm so thankful and happy that to see most of you that are still here, are still faithful to the Lord, still waiting for that crown of life that we will receive one day, Revelation 2 and verse 10. And for that, I commend you and I encourage you to continue to live a faithful life in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is Christianity a wonderful life? And even if you say no, it is still a wonderful life. Christianity is a wonderful life because we serve our living God. We serve the God of heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that continues to bless us all the time. Christianity is a wonderful life, and it is composed of Christians only. And the Bible calls us Christians. In Acts 11:26, they were first called Christians at Antioch. In Acts 26 and verse 28, they almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And then 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. And so we are Christians. And Christianity is a wonderful life because it is a blessed life. We are in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that we are a blessed people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And that's where we are, in Jesus Christ. We've been baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And that's how we became New Testament Christians. And now we enjoy the many blessings that we find in Jesus Christ. Not so much the material blessings, even though God gives us so many things to enjoy in this life. But we enjoy those spiritual blessings. And one of those great blessings that we enjoy in Christianity is the forgiveness of our sins. We've been forgiven of our sins. And that forgiveness of our sins is found in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Ephesus, in Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Notice, in Jesus Christ. That's where we have the forgiveness of our sins, and that's where we are. And forgiveness of our sins is so important because nobody will enter heaven unless his sins have been washed away with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse 27 that no unclean thing shall enter into heaven. And so if your sins have not been forgiven, you are not clean. And if you're not clean, then you will not be able to make it to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no man shall see God. If your sins have not been forgiven, you have not been sanctified. And if you have not been sanctified, you will not be able to see God someday. Do you want to see God one day? I want to see him so bad. But in order for me to see him, I'm so thankful that God has forgiven my sins. And I have to continue to live a faithful life in Jesus Christ so that one day I can see him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If your sins have not been forgiven, your heart is not pure. And if your heart is not pure, you will not be able to see God someday. And so, the forgiveness of our sins is a great blessing that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. And what a great blessing that is. And we're thankful that we have been washed away through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Christianity also is a wonderful life because we have that hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Yes, brethren, we have that hope of eternal life, that if we die today, we know where we're going. We know exactly where we will go when we die today because we have that hope of eternal life. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I wonder why. And actually, I don't have to wonder why, because the Bible tells me why it is a gain to die. Because we have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. That hope of eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you, notice what 1 John 5 and verse 11 says. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 talks about that hope of eternal life. You know, Colossians 1:27 says that Jesus is our hope of glory. And he is our hope of glory because eternal life is found in him. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life," what kind of life, John? Eternal life. "And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ." And that's exactly where we are, aren't we? We are in Jesus Christ. We have been baptized into Christ. And that's where the hope of eternal life is found. And that's why we know that when we die, we know exactly where we will go. You know, sometimes you ask Christians, if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? And sometimes you hear the strangest answer. They say, "Well, you know what? God is the one that's going to judge. I really cannot be 100% sure whether I'm going to be in heaven or not because, you know, after all, in the end, God is the one that's going to decide." Is that person right? Is God the only one that knows whether we're going to be saved or not? Don't we have that hope of eternal life? You know, 1 John 5:13, since you're there, 1 John 5:13 says, "And these things have I written unto you, that you may guess that you have eternal life." Is that what the text says? That's not what the text says. The text says that you may know that you have eternal life. We can know. We can be 100% sure that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because that's where we are. We have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. That's where we are. And so we can know 100% sure, actually 150% sure, we can know that we have that hope of eternal life. But if we die tonight, we know that we go to a better place because God has promised that hope of eternal life. And remember, Titus 1:2, he cannot lie. So he promised that before time's eternal, because we were in his mind before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. We have that promise of heaven. Remember in John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be." That's the hope that we have. We have a house not made with hands in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. And it will be a better place in heaven. Because Revelation 21, verse 4 says that in that place, in heaven, there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness, no more bills to pay, no more stress. None of those things will be in heaven. And that's where I want to go, brother. And that's why I'm striving to do as much as I can to serve God faithfully. You know, it's not going to be easy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 talks about that person that doesn't want you to be in heaven. That roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy me. He doesn't want us to make it to heaven. But thanks be unto God that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. First John chapter 4 and verse 4. And that's what makes Christianity a wonderful life. We have that hope of eternal life. We know that we have it. Satan will try to stop us from going to heaven. But we know that God is with us. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says that those who want to live a godly life in Jesus Christ, they will suffer persecution. It's not a matter of maybe, perhaps. No, Paul says you will go through difficult times. I remember, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 14 and verse 22. He was encouraging the disciples, and he reminded them that through much tribulation, we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know why? Because of the words of Philippians 1:29. It has been granted unto us not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for his name. You know, the prophets of old suffer. Jesus suffered. The apostles suffered. The early Christians suffered. The 21st century church, oh no, we don't suffer. You know, we live in the United States. We do not suffer. No, we will suffer. You know, times are getting difficult. Times are getting tough in the United States. You know, Christianity is being persecuted one way or the other. And it will get difficult. And so we must stay close to God, you know, in order for us not to get discouraged. Because we will face difficult times. We will face trials. The early church, you know, they suffered so much. They were persecuted. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, there was a great persecution in Jerusalem, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. It's interesting how that early church grew so fast. Acts 2:41, about 3,000 souls. Acts 4:4, 5,000 men. Acts 5 and verse 14, the number of the disciples multiplied. Acts 6:7, priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 8:4, they went everywhere preaching the word. And then the word continued to increase. Acts 11:24 and 12:24, they turned the world upside down. Acts 17 and verse 6, they had filled all Jerusalem with the doctrine. Acts 5 and verse 28, in the midst of persecution, they worked hard because they wanted to be in heaven. And they wanted to take as many people as possible to heaven. And so Acts 8, verses 1 through 4, persecution, evangelism, persecution, evangelism. 2015, no persecution, fill in the blank, no evangelism. Question is, do we need a persecution in order for us to start working for the Lord? I hope and pray that that won't be the case. But if we have to, so be it. Let persecution come so we can start working for the Lord. So we can come out of that comfort zone, start preaching the gospel to the lost. Because many people, thousands of people, millions of people are dying. And we need to reach them out with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can have that hope of eternal life, so that they can enjoy the wonderful life of Christianity. Are we sharing our faith with others? Are we telling others about how great Christianity is? Again, it will be difficult. Some of us may be discouraged. It may be the case that half of the people in this room may not make it to heaven, either because they got discouraged or they just decided to go back to the world. But I hope and pray that all of us, brethren, will work hard at in our salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2:12. And we will stay faithful unto death, even to the point of giving our lives for the Lord, Revelation 2:10, so that we may be able to receive that crown of life. But as we suffer in this life, Christianity is a wonderful life because even in the midst of suffering, we can still be happy, you know? You know, James chapter 1 and verse 2 says, count it all joy, brethren, when you face manifold trials and temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith produces perseverance, patience. Count it all joy. Can we be happy in the midst of persecution? Well, the apostles were. You know, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, Peter and John, they were put in prison, and then they were scourged. And Acts 5:41 says that they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. What about the Apostle Paul? He says in Colossians 1:24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for Christ. I glory in tribulations. Romans 5, verses 3 and verse 4. And that huge list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 16 through 33. All the sufferings the Apostle Paul went through. And then 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for this our light affliction, I don't think I would call it a light affliction, the things that he went through. But Paul was able to have that attitude. He was able to rejoice in the midst of trouble, in the midst of persecution. And then Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Where was Paul when he penned those words? A, some vacations in Italy. B, fishing at the Sea of Galilee. Or C, at a prison in Rome. I think that's what we call it, the prison epistles, right? Because he wrote them from the prison, from prison in Rome. Brethren, he was in prison when he said, when he told the brethren outside of prison, with the ones that were enjoying the freedom, he said, rejoice in the Lord, brethren. Again, I'll say rejoice, not worry about me. You know why? Because I'm really happy here. I have preached the gospel to the Praetorium. I preached the gospel to the house of Caesar. I am converting a lot of people here because the word is not chained, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 9. And so I am happy here. You know, they say that if you put Paul next to a river, he'll convert, you know, women, Lydia. You know, if you put him, you know, in prison, he'll convert the jailer, you know, Philippian jailer, Acts 16. If you put him in prison again, he'll write the entire New Testament, basically. And if you kill him, he'll say, you are doing me a favor, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That is the attitude that we need to have. Now, did they have peace, the apostles, the Apostle Paul? You know, Jesus said in John 14:27, my peace I give, my peace I leave to you, but I do not give it to you as the world gives it. You know, peace is not the absence of problems, but the presence of God in the midst of problems. Peace is not the absence of problems, but the presence of God in the midst of problems. You know, I'm so happy for Matthew 28:20. And lo, I am with you every Wednesday and every Sunday to the end of the world. Sometimes that's what we think, right? That God is with us only when we come together. The text continues to say, and it has said that for many years, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And the Hebrews writer, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Those were the words that God spoke unto Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. And when I read those 24 chapters of the book of Joshua, God never forsook Joshua. He was with him all the way to the end. And I tell you what, God will never, never forsake us, because we are his people and he will take care of us. Yes, we will suffer, but we have to be reminded that we are not alone in this world. We are not alone. Christianity is a wonderful life, brethren, because even though we suffer, we can still keep a positive attitude. You know, if our house burns down, if we lose our jobs, if we lose loved ones, we can still be happy with God, because, you know, we are not alone. He's always there to give us the encouragement that we need through his word. That's why it's so important for us to read God's word, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, to love God's word, Psalm 119 and verse 97, to memorize God's word, Psalm 119 and verse 11. And I'm so happy that you guys are doing that, memorizing God's word, storing that word in your hearts, because when the time comes, you will have those verses here in your mind. Not even Satan will be able to take away those verses that you have memorized. God's word brings joy to our lives. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So let us be walking Bibles. Let us go back to those golden times when we were known as people of the book. People were so happy back then, you know. They were so happy to listen to a sermon that was filled with scriptures. They were happy to live the Christian life. They really enjoy Christianity as we should. And I hope and pray that we are enjoying Christianity because it is a wonderful life in Jesus Christ. It is a blessed life. You know, we have received the forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation. We have divine protection, divine encouragement. We have that hope of eternal life. And the list goes on and on and on of the things that we enjoy in Jesus Christ. So let us stay faithful. Let us continue to stay the course so that one day we can say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day. And not only to me, says Paul, but also to those who love his appearing. Let us continue to stay faithful to our Heavenly Father. May this wonderful life encourage each and every one of us to continue to work for the Lord. Let us bring more people to Christ. Let us be more evangelistic in spirit. Let us be more knowledgeable in the scriptures. Let us encourage one another as we face trials and temptations. Let us pray for one another. Let us go back to the Bible and be like the first century church. They were a praying church. You know, when James was killed in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, and then the Apostle Peter was put into prison by Herod, in Acts 12:5, in Acts 12:12, the church came together. They were united, and they were praying. That's a church that God wants to be. Faithful church in Jesus. Now, I would like to spend the rest of the 2 hours that I was given to encourage those of you who have not obeyed the gospel. I want to tell you how to enjoy that wonderful life. I want to show you from the scriptures what is it that you have to do in order to be able to be in Jesus Christ where that wonderful life is found. And so if you have your Bibles with you, please go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If you're visiting with us and you don't know how to find that passage, well, if somebody brought you, well, I would encourage that brother in Christ or that sister in Christ to sit next to him, help him find that passage in Acts chapter 2. And if after we study this, you have more questions about salvation, please give us the opportunity to sit down with you, open the Bible, and to learn about God's way to salvation. In Acts chapter 2, we have the book of Acts is the book of conversions. The book of Acts tells us, you know, how to become a New Testament Christian. You know, a gospel preacher said that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us about the life of Christ. The book of Acts tells us how to become a New Testament Christian. The book of Romans, all the way through the book of Jude, tells us how to live the Christian life. And then the book of Revelation, how to die a Christian, victorious in Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, we find more than 10 examples of conversion. One of my favorites is the book of Acts in chapter 2. In this passage, we learn about what a person must do in order to be saved. In order not just to be saved, but in order to enjoy that wonderful life of Christianity. And notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the text says, when they heard this, they were pricking their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Notice, when they heard this, the question is, when they heard what? And in order to answer that question, we have to ask ourselves, what is the message that Jesus Christ told his apostles to go into all the world and preach? That's Mark 16 and verse 15. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach, notice, the gospel to every creature. And so that's the message that they heard at the day of Pentecost. Now, the question is, what is the gospel? Well, it is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. And if it is the power of God unto salvation, then it is imperative that we know what that message is. And then 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. In that passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul tells us what the gospel is. And the text says, but now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel which I preach unto you, which ye also receive, wherein ye also stand, by which ye are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach unto you, except ye believe in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel, message of salvation, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us go back now to Acts chapter 2. So in verse 37, when they heard this, when they heard the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, that's when the sermon begins. After the Apostle Peter defended the accusation that they were drunk, in verse 22, he begins to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and signs and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know. Him, being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Then verse 32, this Jesus God raised, and we are witnesses to that. What is Peter preaching here? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:36. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom ye crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricking their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And notice what Peter said. Peter said, come forward, everyone, and repeat this prayer after me. Lord, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and this morning I accept you as my own personal Savior. I want you to save me. I want you to forgive my sins. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. And now, he is my Lord and Savior. Amen. Is that what Peter said? Why some of you said amen? Okay, that's not what Peter said. What did Peter say? What did Peter reply? Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, unto the remission of your sins, in order to receive the remission of your sins, the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For unto you is the promise, and to your children, and to as many as are afar off, and to as many as our Lord our God shall call unto his name. And with many other words, he testified it and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added about 3,000 souls on that day. They heard the gospel message of salvation, death, burial, and resurrection. They believed with all their heart on that message. And then they were told what to do, repent and be baptized. About 3,000 people did just that. 3,000 souls. Notice Acts 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. To what church? If you pick up the phone directory and go to the yellow pages, white pages, purple pages, whatever pages that is, and you go to the section that says churches, not churches chicken, okay? But churches. If you go to the churches, to which of those denominations were those about 3,000 people added? The answer is to none of those. They were added to the body of Christ, because the church is the body of Christ, according to Acts 2:47 and Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, and Colossians 1:18. Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. And so those about 3,000 souls, they were added to the body of Jesus Christ, to the New Testament church. And that's where you and I, those who have obeyed the gospel, that's where we are. And so we want to encourage those of you who have not obeyed the gospel, please believe in that message. Believe that Jesus Christ came, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and raised, and was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. Be willing to believe in that message. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God before this audience, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. And be willing to be immersed in water in order for you to receive the forgiveness of your sins in order to be added to the body of Christ, Acts 2:47, in order to have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time's eternal, Titus 1 and verse 2. And after that, all you have to do is live a faithful life in Jesus Christ, commit your life to Him. In one day, you will receive that crown of life and that abundant entrance to heaven. And that's where God wants you to be. He already did His part by sending His one and only Son to die on the cross, John 3:16. He already showed His love for you, Romans 5:8, in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He wants you to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, God desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to repent of your sins so that you may live. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, but you have to do your part now. He already did His part. Now you have to do your part in order to be able to enjoy that wonderful life called Christianity. And so, if you're already a member of the body of Christ, and you have not been living your life according to the New Testament, faithfully in Jesus Christ, today is the time to repent of your sins and to ask God to forgive you. And if you need the prayers of the congregation, we are more than happy and ready to pray for you and to help you to be that kind of encouragement that all of us need. Because as long as we are in this world, we will struggle. And Satan will try his best to not get you to heaven. But God is there for you. And the other great blessing that we have, our spiritual family, Jesus Christ. So if you need to respond to any of these two invitations, please do so as together we stand and sing.